Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Kaylee, thank you for remembering the food pantry with our young ones. That was also one of the things I was going to mention about being part of First Lutheran Church, and you belong here, I belong here. One of the things that we do as members of First Lutheran Church is we feed the hungry. And that's something that Jesus would do. And also knowing that every time we announce that the shelves are low, the shelves fill up again. Thank you. So today we celebrate kind of an interesting feast day. We celebrate Saint Michael and all the angels. Happens on the 29th of September every year. It doesn't always fall on a Sunday, so we don't get to hear about it too often. What comes to your mind when I say the word angels? Are you thinking perhaps Christmas and Cupid? I think in some sense that's our cultural picture of angels. And these little fluffy little pixies that are of minimal value, minimal interest. But there's also a portion of our culture that's exceedingly interested in angels. Interested in angels to the point where they bypass God just to be thinking about angels. There's some New Age stuff. I think Doreen Virtue is one of the most prominent out there who just thinks you can just tap into the angels any old time. She has no theology of God whatsoever. But I just came across an article by her. It says, 8 ways to recognize Michael. Isn't that nice to have? 8 ways to recognize Michael. And another, I just did a little Google search, another article from another author that said how to work with the Archangel Michael. And on his webpage, the Archangel Michael looks like Tinkerbell. I don't know about you, but looking at angels from a biblical perspective makes me want to have just a little bit more respect for them than that. You think about, Michael was only in the Bible mentioned twice, well actually 3 times. In the 2 lessons we had today from Daniel and from Revelation, then once it's just a slight mention in Jude. Jude's everybody's favorite book of the New Testament, right? Very important. Michael doesn't get a lot of attention in this scripture, but over the generations since, the culture and the church have really placed a lot of importance on Michael. And perhaps with good reason. One of the reasons I think that our group did the dramatic reading of the second lesson today is because sometimes when we read scripture, just the mere fact that we're reading it kind of waters it down and pedestrianizes it. Imagine, if you will, the most ferocious, demonic being, big and nasty and ugly. Maybe it's something that you've pictured from a movie, or maybe it's something you've pictured from a nightmare, or maybe it's something you've pictured from reading scripture. Think about the most ferocious, nasty, ugly, vicious, hateful, demonic being that you can picture. Frightening, right? It's Satan. It's that great dragon. was about is Michael giving Satan the boot, kicking the old devil out of heaven. Still thinking cherubs and tinkerbells? No. God has forces around us. Supernatural forces around us that are fierce enemies of evil of every type. And to the believer, that should bring great comfort. Angels are not something that we harness. Angels, they show up in Scripture 290 times, not including the times when they're referred to as heavenly hosts. Angels show up on the scene to help God accomplish God's purpose. They are not personal genies or miniature Santa Clauses or things that we stick on the dashboard and hope for the best. Angels, the technical term for angel is just messenger, but in the Bible they do so much more. They're fierce. They're capable of mass destruction. And the Old Testament talks about angels holding up their hands to destroy civilizations, or the angel of death at Exodus. But they're also there to bring comfort. The number of times when an angel shows up on the scene and someone is terrified, and they should be, and the angel says, "Fear not. You're on God's side of this cosmic battle. Fear not." And angels praise God. They sing God's praises throughout the Psalms. You see the angels singing praises. And at the birth of Christ, you see the angels singing praises, sounding trumpets. It's a good reason to become a brass player, right? But they are only there to help God accomplish God's purpose. They're a cosmic force, and we believe in them. But only to the extent that they are God's helpers. That they fulfill the whole communion of saints. You know, when we receive Holy Communion together, you know, we talk about being surrounded by the saints. We also talk about being surrounded by the saints on earth and the whole host of heaven. Now picture this. If there's only 5 people receiving communion or 2 people receiving communion, or maybe if there's only 80 of us here on a Sunday, or maybe we're in a congregation where there are thousands that receive communion on the same Sunday, we're still outnumbered by the power of God, which ought to surround us with His grace and comfort and courage. I mean, if we've got angels angels watching our back, if we're walking with God, what do we have to fear? And so, in the preface to the Holy Communion, a lot of times you'll hear Betty pulling out all the stops. Right after I say the words, "With angels and archangels, and the whole host of heaven. We join their praises and sing the unending hymn. And then we sing the words that Isaiah said when he saw the angels in Isaiah chapter 6. And their hymns filled the whole temple, and smoke filled the temple, and the foundations of the temple rumbled. And Isaiah said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory. The angels help point us to what is truly holy. D.J. Coyle writes, "We humans possess a yearning for that which our senses do not readily perceive, a need for discovery of something transcendent. It's hardwired into us as much as our need to eat and breathe. We can name that need that is inside us. It's not a need for Cupid or Tinkerbell. It's a thirst to be in the presence of the Holy God. Angels, they do more than we know, but a lot less than God. They assist us on the way. They bring us a message when we need it. As we go from this place today, think about when it is that you sense the presence of God. What are those times? Where are those places when you sense God's presence? You feel a voice, you feel a sense of calm. You know that your action is just, it's right. Through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, you might have just been visited by an angel. And when you think the forces of evil in the world are so overwhelming, what can little old I do about it? Don't forget that God's got a whole host of cosmic allies working on the problem. We don't do any of this on our own. And so as we gather today around word, around sacrament, we celebrate that we're not on our own. We are in the presence of the holiest of holy, of God, in all God's forms, and the heavenly host, and one another. May the peace of God that surrounds you fill you and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.